Hello. Welcome tonight to our time of worship together. This is Elder Lee Chambers, pastor of the Riverside Primitive Baptist Church. Welcome to our home this evening as we meet around the table for our evening worship service. First of all, let me thank you, many of you who took the time to respond and to let me know you were watching and listening today. I trust that these messages will prove to be a blessing to you and will help you to grow closer in your walk with the Lord. I do want to ask you to look with me again tonight to the same passage that we looked at this morning on this day that we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We began by looking at some reactions and some responses after that entrance into Jerusalem today. And I'm going to go back and read that passage of Scripture again tonight and then look at a second particular lesson from it that is important for us in our day. I want you to look with me, please, at John chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading at verse 19 and read through verse 23. John, the gospel recorded by John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, that was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Will you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be able to gather around your word once again. We pray tonight, indeed, Lord, that it would be the center of our time together, the Word which testifies of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to those about Him and said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of Me." And as we come together tonight, Father, we pray that you would bless us to be able to see Jesus. We pray for our land and our families and our cities in this time of much struggle and a great deal of concern and confusion. We know, Father, that there's not anything that takes you by surprise. There's not anything that suddenly throws you off kilter because things have gotten worse. You know all things, even from the beginning. You know where we are now and what lies ahead for us. And even though we look, Father, and see only darkly, as the Scripture says, we see only in part. You know all things, and we rest in your wisdom tonight. We rest in your graciousness. We rest in your care and your mercy. We pray that you would lead us in the way of repentance, Father, and turn us closer to you. You call us, and your word says, David said, when he was afflicted early, he sought your face. Lord, as we find ourselves in this time of affliction, help us to turn to you. Help us to turn from those things in our lives that might be displeasing to you. Help us, Father, to know tonight your presence. Help us to know your power. Help us to know your graciousness, for thou and thou alone art able to do all things exceeding abundantly above all things that we can ask or think. Help us, Lord, in this day and in this circumstance in our life. Help those that are searching to find the answers medically. But Lord, if it could be right in your sight that you would heal this virus in such a way that it would be apparent that it is your mighty power, that it would be suddenly and quickly healed, that the world about us would know that you have manifest your strength once more. Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you will yet do in our lives. Now, bless us in understanding your word and help us for Christ's sake, we pray. And amen. Jesus had entered the city of Jerusalem as he approached the time of the Passover. He and his disciples had come up with others from the land of Judah and had approached the temple, and they came together as was expected under the law of Moses, where God had put his name. They would come on those special holy days. And so Jesus, as the Lamb of God, entered into Jerusalem as the time of the Passover drew nigh. We saw where Jesus entered a great deal of acclaim and a great deal of acclamation by people who recognized him as the Messiah, the Son of David. But we also saw this morning that there were those who didn't think so highly of Jesus. One of those groups that was mentioned was the Pharisees. They were the group that had tried to capture him in his words. They were to try to deceive him, to try to trap him. And yet they had prevailed nothing. And we saw that in that particular statement. There was a great deal of encouragement for us as the people of God and in this day, that while there are still those who would endeavor to overcome the kingdom of God, and there are those who would endeavor to discount, and Satan would endeavor to cast dispersion upon the name of Jesus Christ, yet they will prevail nothing. They may assail, but they will not prevail. And we stand in the sure promise of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, I want to look at a second part of this lesson that is also a reason for hope for all of us, first of all, as individuals, and secondly, for the church in the earth. I want you to look with me, after the Pharisees had said, the whole world went after Jesus. First thing we're told is that there were Greeks, Gentiles, a people on the other end of the spectrum from where the Pharisees were. Pharisees thought themselves to be the most faithful to the law. They thought themselves to be the strongest of God's children. Well, to use a word that gets the idea across, though it's not exactly a good English word, they saw themselves as being the rightest of the people. Everybody else was on the other end. And those who were not Jews especially were those on the other end. And these Greeks, part of the world, part of the other part of the world, came to where Jesus was, and came to Philip and to Andrew, and their petition was, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You see, there were those who were not part of the long history. They were not part of a standing tradition. They were not part of a multi-generational family. But they were those that were drawn to Jesus Christ. The world went after him. You see, folks, there are people from all over the world who are being drawn to Christ. I want you to look with me at some scriptures about that tonight. That's not just some statement that's easy to make. There's biblical reason for us to stand upon that assurance. There was one time when Jesus was speaking to Paul, when Paul, I believe it was at Corinth, there were those that were somewhat threatening around Paul, but the Lord spoke to Paul and said, "Go, stand, speak, for I have much people in this city." There will be many people who will not believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 3, all men have not faith. There will be those who will not believe. And there will be those who don't believe who try to silence those who do. But you see, our assurance is God has a people throughout all the world. It's not, the Church of Jesus Christ is not an American institution. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a cultural institution. It is a worldwide kingdom. I want you to notice with me some scriptures tonight. Look, first of all, in the book of Ephesians. You see, God has a people, first of all, that belong to Him already. We don't come to Christ in order to get to belong to God. We come because we are His. Look at the passage of Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, God made a choice of a people before the world began. Well, that's just Paul. No, listen to the language of Peter as well. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, to the Jews. But listen to the language of Peter. Peter wrote to those, he said, were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says of those people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God through faith. Well, if all men have not faith, how do we have faith? Faith is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved. This is from Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God has given the gift of faith. If we're able to see Jesus Christ, it is because God has opened our eyes. It is because God has given us a lively hope. Peter goes on to say, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You see, there's this word redeemed that keeps coming back. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers. You weren't redeemed with silver and gold. You weren't bought with money, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was foreordained what? In the book of Revelation, we're told that He was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was foreordained as the lamb from the foundation of the world. Why? To redeem a people that God had chosen from the foundation of the world. And it's a people that the Lord said to Abraham would be without number, greater than the stars of the heaven and of the sands of the seashore. And I want to give you one other passage of Scripture tonight that gives us, again, that word redeemed. You see, Jesus paid for us. You're not your own. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus. We look forward this next week to remembering the day that Jesus hung on the cross, that ultimately He would rise from the grave. But there would have been no resurrection had there have been no offering, as the Lamb of God gave His blood to redeem us. Now listen to what we're told about that redemption. Look in Revelation chapter 5. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Now, who was it that was worthy? Christ. "For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood." But here's the phrase I came for. "Out of every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You see, He has made us a special people unto God as servants, but He redeemed a people not just from among the Jews, not just from among some nations, but He redeemed a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tribe, out of every people. When the Pharisees said, "The world has gone after Him," the reason that statement made in derision was a statement of truth, was because Jesus would redeem His people, and everyone that the Father had given to Him would come unto Him and would be drawn unto Him. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 6, "No man cometh unto Me except My Father, which is in heaven, draw him. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." You see, brothers and sisters, God had a people for whom He sent Jesus. Well, how do I know if I'm one? Are you able to see Jesus Christ tonight? It is by the grace of God through the blood of Christ and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that He testifies to you. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't make any difference where you come from. It doesn't make any difference what your background is. It doesn't make any difference what your nationality might be. It doesn't make any difference what your ancestry might have been. You see, God has a people out of the whole world. And individually to us, if He's drawing us, He's drawing us out of that world unto Himself. He says, "Come apart from among them. Be ye separate unto Me, saith the Lord." He draws you. He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." You see, the Pharisees made the statement they made about Jesus almost in disdain. And yet they made a statement that has proven to be absolutely true. Jesus had a people from throughout the whole of the world. So for us individuals, for you tonight, if God has opened your eyes to see, if God has opened my eyes to see, it's because He has a people in every nation. But now I want to look with you at two other passages of Scripture tonight that apply to us as we live in the kingdom of God here in this world. And in a particular way, it applies to us as the church, as we carry His word in the earth. You see, He sends us into the whole world. If you look back to the words that Jesus would speak to His disciples right before He left the earth, Matthew says, He makes this statement, beginning in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus sends us to all nations of the world. He may not send every person the same way. When he told the disciples they would be witnesses unto him after the Holy Spirit had come upon them, they would start in their own backyard, so to speak, in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the reason he would send his people to the uttermost parts of the earth is that he has a people he redeemed out of the whole world. And he sends us to teach them all things that he commands and to say unto them, follow him. You see, our work is not just a historical work. Our work is not just a traditional work. Our work is God, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, is a work which is to all nations. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to travel overseas. The one time in my life that I've gone out of this country, but I had the opportunity to travel to the other side of the world for 10 days and to spend there among a people in another land. But you know what I found? I found that before I got there, there was already people there who believed the same gospel of Jesus Christ that I believed. There were people there who worshiped the same Lord that I worship, that you worship. Why? Because God has a people in every nation that He has redeemed in the blood of Jesus. And wherever He sends us, it's our opportunity to preach the name of Jesus Christ, to command, to teach the things that He commands, to baptize and to teach them to observe what He's commanded. And we can do so with assurance because He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, what He started, He will finish. What He has begun in a people, He will continue in that people. What He sets forth among His church, He will maintain. The world may rise up against as the Pharisees did against Jesus. But the reality is, He will continue. He died once, but He'll never die again. He spoke of Himself in the book of the Revelation. He said, I am He that was dead, but am alive and am alive forevermore. And because He lives forevermore, then listen to the promise that we have that was given through Paul when he talked about the fellowship that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that he could be confident of this very thing. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until the coming of Jesus Christ. He begins a work in our individual lives, and He will lose nothing. Of all that the Father giveth unto me, I will lose nothing, He said, but raise it up again at the last day. That's a promise to us individually that He which hath begun a good work in us will continue it today. So the instruction for us to go unto all nations is an instruction that we can have confidence in today. Wherever we have the opportunity to take the message of Christ, God will have a people there. It may be in the downtown Jacksonville. God will have a people there. It may be to the far side of the world. God will have a people there. He has begun a good work. And I'll tell you, my beloved, that until the day that Jesus Christ comes back, no matter how bleak the circumstance in the world might look, God will have a people. And when Christ returns, that people will still be a people of faith and faithfulness in this world. It may not be in the same place every time, but He will have a people out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. He has redeemed us out of those places, and He's redeemed us unto Himself. The whole world goes after Jesus. Why? Because He has a people all over the world. May we carry the message. We don't make people the people of Christ. We tell those that He draws, we teach them His commandments, we give them encouragement, we give them His hope. Maybe you're one of those tonight and you've been searching and you hear the words of Christ to your spirit that says, "Come unto me." Come with full assurance of faith. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Let your hope rest in Him. For what He starts, He will finish. Our Father in heaven, thank You for Your Son Jesus. Thank You that He has a people in every nation of this world. Thank You, Father, that the assurance is that You will draw them unto Yourself. But You've given us the opportunity, Father, to tell the good news. Help us to be confident in teaching Your Word, to go into whatever locale we have the opportunity to be in, or to go wherever You might send us to carry the message that Jesus has redeemed us unto Himself. And what He has bought, He will not lose. And the work that He has begun, He will not cut short nor fail. And when He returns to claim us, He said, "I will come again to receive you unto Myself." That He will have a people out of the whole world. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of faith and for those that have believed upon Your Son tonight. Carry us onward in service. Bless us in what You know that we have need. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for being with me tonight. I remind you that we'll try to meet together Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Right here around our table. We invite you to come and join with us in our Wednesday night Bible study. May the Lord bless us and keep us until the next time we have the opportunity to be together. May He keep you safe and keep you close to Himself is my prayer. God bless.